Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The first couple sinned by disobeying God. Then the ripple effect moved into all areas of life, including sex. As time passed, people began using other people to gratify their desires without commitment. The unavoidable byproduct was shame. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We've begun a new series on restoring the soul, healing in an age of brokenness. Pastor Lutzer has taken us back to Eden, where the human race suffered the loss of innocence, something Jesus died to restore.
Because of Jesus Christ's victory over shame, we can be now a community in which we can accept one another despite our shame. Because all of us have done things of which we are ashamed. We can create an atmosphere in which people can confess their need and can know that there is hope, not just to be forgiven by God, which is the first step, but also to be received and accepted by others in a wholesome relationship that takes away the shame. Many months ago, when I told the people at prayer meeting that I was going to speak on the topic of restoring the soul, a young woman in prayer meeting began to think about her own secrets, her own molestation that she experienced at the age of 11 in an alcoholic home where the mother was disconnected and not taking care of the protection of her children. And she began to share with a believer her great need and what happened to her. She said, "I put that believer through torture. The more he knew about my ugly secret, the more I hated him. I feared that I would be viewed as an ugly secret. In fact," she says, "I called him up and told him that I hated him for what he knew. But he replied that he would keep praying for me and not hate me in return." She says, "That night I called on God's name as I had never called on him before. I prayed and I said, 'Tonight I'm calling you something that I have never called you before.'" She's speaking to the Lord. "I'm going to call you my Father." She said, "I prayed and said, 'I know you as Creator, King, and Lord. But tonight I need to know that I'm not just your servant. I am your daughter.'" She said, "The very next morning, I was able to see the hand of grace. I felt the cord that began to sew up my wounds. Satan no longer torments me about my past. I yelled back, 'I am still a child of God, saved by grace.' Your series of messages need prayer and fasting because of people like me. We are afraid that our tears will show. I hope here at Moody Church, you are never afraid to cry." But she says, "We are afraid that our tears will show. We are afraid of our stitches, that their stitches will tear. We are afraid others will find out. I wish I had the courage to give you this letter in person, but just writing this to you is all the courage I can muster now." So the letter was given to me, but last Sunday evening she came to me and identified herself. And that's when I asked permission to read this letter. I'd have never read it apart from permission, because people who have been living in shame, the last thing they need is more surprises and betrayal. But this is what she said to me. She said, "I had a choice to make. Either I would be an ugly secret, or I would be the daughter of God." That's the choice that some of you face. Do you want to be an ugly secret, or do you want to be the daughter of God? A couple of years ago, a student of mine gave me this story, which I read to you. "In that place between wakefulness and dreams, I found myself in the room with walls covered with boxes of index files stretching from floor to ceiling. One box was labeled 'People I Have Liked.' I opened it, and to my surprise, each card had the name of a person I knew. Then I realized where I was. This was the catalog file of my whole life. All the details, big and small, were recorded. Both curiosity and fear stirred within me as I began to randomly open the files. Some brought back wonderful memories. Others triggered shame so intense that I glanced over my shoulder to make sure that no one was watching. Files included books I have read. Another, television programs I have watched. There was one, lies I have told, and comfort I have given. Then there was things done in anger, and another file, times I have cursed. There also were files titled people I have helped and prayers I have prayed. I was overwhelmed with the sheer volume of the cards. There were hundreds of boxes, and each contained hundreds of cards. I timidly opened the people I have hurt file and was amazed at its depth. Yet each card had my name and my signature. I was drawn to the file, people I have shared the gospel with, and was embarrassed that the box was almost empty. When I moved on to the file, people I've not forgiven, I was surprised that the box was almost full. I did not have to look at each card because I knew intuitively that these files were accurate. No mistakes here. I glanced up, and the file I dreaded most, lustful thoughts, was in front of me. A shameful chill ran through my body. I opened the file, but only for a moment, not willing to test its bulk and its size. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw another file, various sexual sins. I pretended not to notice and turned away. I was obsessed with destroying the cards, but found that I could not. Though they were thin, they were as strong as steel. In fact, I could not even dislodge them from the file cabinets they were in. By now, only one thought dominated my mind. No one must ever see these cards. No one must ever enter into this room. Tears came to my eyes. I sobbed so violently that I began to shake. I fell on my knees and cried, humiliated and afraid. I must lock the room and hide the key. As I wiped my tears away and was about to stand up, I noticed that someone had entered into the room. I glanced up at his face, and then I saw him. No, not him. Not him. Anyone but Jesus. I turned away, burning with shame. Then he began to open the files and read the cards. He went from box to box, and when I glanced up, I saw sorrow on his face that was just as deep as my own. Why did he have to look at them? After a few moments, he walked over and put his arm around me. He said nothing but just cried with me. Then he began to systematically go through the files one by one from beginning to end, assigning his name on each card. No, no, I sobbed. You can't do that. I was amazed at how quickly he went through all of the boxes, and when he was finished, he showed me some cards up close. And I noticed that on each was his signature, signed with his own blood, covering my name. I turned away and cried. By now he was standing beside me. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "It is finished." He waited in silence for me to dry my tears, and then he led me out of the room. Suddenly a verse I memorized in Sunday school flashed into my mind. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Together we walked down the hallway, but the door was left unlocked. My life was not yet over, and there were cards that still needed to be written. A minister friend of mine who committed adultery and destroyed two marriages, his own and that of someone else, I rode with him in his car. I know I've told you this story before. As he put on the stereo as loudly as we could bear, "Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain," we could read shame. "My guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all." The first step in healing is to be cleansed by Christ's blood. The decision that many of you here today and listening by radio or other means, the decision that you have to make today is this: an ugly secret or a daughter or son of the living God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today that you are indeed the healer of souls. You bind up the brokenhearted, your word says, and you bind up their wounds. Today, Father, we've opened some wounds. Today, Father, some people have been awakened to a past. And we ask today, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will grant them the ability to first of all receive your cleansing. And then, Father, to speak to someone in their small groups, someone in their friends, and tell them their story and be affirmed in that forgiveness, that the shame might be removed. We pray for the deliverance of those, Father, struggling with pornography, those who are in immoral relationships, even now as they're listening. We ask today, Father, that you will give them the desire and the strength to do what needs to be done to rebuild a desecrated temple. Oh, Father, we cry up to you today. Come and heal your people. Forgive them and set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I can't help but think that there are many who are listening for whom this message was specifically intended. If you've been blessed, if you've been challenged, it's because other people have invested in the ministry of Running to Win. Here's a letter we've received from someone who says that your messages have brought healing to compartments of my life where I don't go. When I heard that there was a Father who loved me regardless of my background, it's a promise I grabbed. And this person goes on to thank us for the ministry of Running to Win, and people just like you have an investment in this ministry. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner, someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts? Of course, the amount that you give is entirely your decision. Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer concluding The Loss of Innocence, the first in a 7-part series of messages on restoring the soul, healing in an age of brokenness. This 7-part series can be yours on CD for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about restoring the soul. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.